Listener, good morning. You are welcome to another edition of Media and Society, a weekly program on Express Radio that often identify and discuss on various issues pertaining to the world of journalism. In the previous edition of this program, we are discussing on the Freedom of Information Act, where we draw the curtain of the program due to a time factor. And at this moment, I'm also happy to introduce to you, as usual, our dual professor and personal professor, Abdullah Oba Adamu. Professor, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, Professor, you were discussing or you are saying something pertaining the access of seeking information where we draw the curtain of the program due to a time factor.
Well, we were talking about the sections of the Freedom of Information Act as provided by the Act itself, which is freely available on the internet. People can download it and have a look at it. Okay. We are just simply trying to understand the various sections. And all we have with last week so far fall under Section 1. And Section 2 of the Freedom of Information Act. Yes, there are section and subsection. Okay. So now we look at Section 3, which says an application for access to a record or information under this Act shall be made in accordance with Section 1 of this Act. Mm. And in this, they have listed out a series of ways in which that application should be treated.
Okay.
If the information does not exist in a print form,
then
it should exist in an electronic form.
Okay.
So let's say, for instance, the agency has computers, and therefore they don't have file jackets and all that. Everything is inside a computer. Then you should be given copies of the printout.
Okay.
So if they don't have file jackets, and they don't have computers, so they don't have electronic records of whatever they do, they are violating the very condition of their own existence.
Okay, that's under Section 2 also, information about public institutions.
That's right. They have to have all these records, because we have listed the sort of information they should have. Now, if they tell you they don't have it, then there is a problem, because they have to have this information one way or the other. So if you go in and then they say, oh, our computer has crashed, and all the information is in the computer, they say, well, get somebody to fix it. And if they tell you that we don't have the money to fix it, well, ask for somebody to come and give you the money. All I'm telling you is I want this information and I want it in 7 days.
Okay.
If you don't give me this information in 7 days, I'm taking you to court.
Won't they interpret you as a kind of threat?
No. If a policeman says, if you commit an offense, I'm going to arrest you, that is not a threat.
Okay.
You're just simply stating a fact.
Okay.
If you do something wrong, you're arrested. So if I come to you asking for information, I'll give you 7 days. That's what the law says. After 7 days, I'll come for that information. I come after 7 days and you tell me the computer has broken down, I don't care, it's your problem. You have to make sure your computers are ready to give me that information in 7 days. If you don't, I'll take it to court, because it's my right. Okay? And this section, the third section of the law, is very generous, because it says illiterate or disabled applicants. Who by virtue of their illiteracy or disability are unable to make an application for access to information or record in accordance with the provisions of subsections, one of this section may take that application through a third party. So in other words, a person who can neither read or write in English has the right to demand for all this information in Arabic. And then it is up to you, the officer, to try to understand what he has written if you don't know Arabic.
Okay.
Or he could ask a third party, another person, to make the application for him.
Okay.
He can tell somebody, I want the ministry of so-and-so to tell me exactly how much they spend in their expenditure. And he writes it for him, and then he brings it.
Okay.
So just because a person doesn't have a book qualification, that does not mean he is excluded.
Okay.
From just because a person is disabled, by whatever form of disability God has applied to him, does not mean that he doesn't have that right. So you see, the Freedom of Information Act treats Nigerians as equal, regardless of your education, regardless of your status, and regardless of your ability.
Okay.
And that is why in the last program I said, imagine somebody who is a wheelbarrow supermarketer. By wheelbarrow supermarketer, I'm talking about a guy who puts all his shop in his wheelbarrow, whether it's in a cart or in a wheelbarrow like Atta or Yalo or Agualuma or whatever it is he sells. He certainly feels that he needs to know how much was spent surfacing the road, which he follows every day from his home to his market. He has the right to go to the Ministry of Land or whatever ministry it is that is responsible for making roads and demand to be told how much money was spent. And they can tell him that because you are selling data, we're not going to give you that information. In fact, they can even help him, first of all, by purchasing his data. Because he's a marketer. He's selling data. So, buy some data.
Okay,
after you have bought some,
yeah.
Now I'm bringing an application to demand to know why the road is not as good as it should be.
Okay.
So, illiteracy, so-called illiteracy and disability are not factors that will hinder somebody from demanding information. So if somebody comes in into your office as an officer and he looks dirty, he's disabled, he's limping, oh, he has pestle and sore on his body, he's stinking from, you know, bacterial infection and so on, he's a human being. He's a Nigerian. And he pays his taxes one way or the other. The money that is distributed throughout the land also belongs to him. And he has the right to for the information that he wants. You have to listen to him, you have to attend to him. So, again, if somebody comes and said, okay, I don't know how to
write
this thing, in whatever language it is you want me to write, but I still need this information, then that officer is mandated to convert the orality into a written form.
Okay.
So if somebody walks in and said, I don't have a third party, who is going to do this for me?
Okay.
And I'm here to demand to see all your records. Then the officer will have to be very nice and calm and say, okay, tell me what you want and I'll write it out. And then that officer will read it back to him and say, this is what you wanted, right?
Okay.
Once he he accepts that this is really what he wanted, the information he wanted, then the officer will have to process it and provide him that information.
Himself.
Within 7 days, within 7 days. So long as he works for the public institution.
Okay.
So it is very important to understand what 7 days mean, because that's what Section 4 says.
Okay.
Where information is applied for under this Act, the public institution to which the application is made shall, subject to the Section 6, 7, and 8 of this Act, within 7 days after the application is received.
Okay.
First of all, provide the information.
Okay.
Within 7 days, you have to provide that particular information. And if you cannot provide that information, you have to explain why that information will not be provided.
And you have to be very fair and sincere in explaining why.
That's right.
Okay.
And the only two reasons why you should not provide that information, even though it's coming up later on, is if it deals with security or if it deals with international affairs.
Okay.
Something that affects the image of Nigeria or a relationship between Nigeria and another country may be denied to you.
Okay.
Something that deals with security may be denied to you. And they will explain that the information you are seeking for has to do with international affairs, or the information you are seeking has to do with security. And if you are convinced that really does have to do with these two, then you let it go.
Okay.
If you are not, you still insist that you have to be provided with that information. You could say, for instance, why would demanding to know how much was spent on a road construction be considered a security risk?
Okay.
I need to know. I mean, I don't want to know how many firearms or ammunition purchased for the police or the army. I don't want to know. But I'd like to know how much was spent on constructing a particular road.
Okay.
How can that be a security risk
when
it is a public road? So they can deny the information to you if it's something that deals with international affairs or something that deals with security, but they'll have to tell you why they are denying that particular information.
Okay.
So it is very important to understand that if you are denied an information, they will have to tell you why they are denying information.
So if you are not convinced, you are at liberty to take them to court?
Oh yes. Okay. Because that means they are not giving you the information that you needed, and they have to provide all this information within 7 days.
Okay, sir, in the previous editions of this program, you talk about the secrecy, how secrecy the situation or the condition of Nigerians are, where maybe you walked into the office seeking for this particular information, they will be playing certain delay technicalities in order to make sure that they get you tired. They will say, go and come back, go and come back, go and come back. When you find yourself in this kind of situation, sir, what would you do in
take
order
to
make sure? Okay. That is the only alternative.
That's it. They have 7 days to do whatever you can.
Whatever
they can in order to prevent giving you that information.
Okay.
If after 7 days you come back, like I gave you an example just a few minutes ago, and the man has traveled, suddenly he has traveled.
Okay.
He was in the office all day long, I mean all week long. Then suddenly on the 7th day you are supposed to collect the information, he has disappeared.
Okay.
Because he has been sent to Ilorin on an assignment.
Okay.
Although you come back 2 days later, his uncle in Gawra Namoda has died, so he has to go up for a funeral.
Okay.
You come back in another 2 days, his sister is getting married in Kaduna, so he has gone off.
Okay.
It means they are delaying you. You have already given them, in fact it is your own grace, your own kindness, that will make you come back after 7 days.
Okay.
If on the 7th day he cannot provide that information, on the 8th day you are in court.
Okay.
You don't care how many funerals he has to attend. You don't care how many marriage ceremonies he has to attend.
There is no any excuse.
No. On the eighth day, we're in court.
Okay. Listeners, don't forget you're onto the program Media and Society, where we are discussing with Professor Abdullah Uba Adamu on what the Freedom of Information Act is all about. You can send an SMS for questions, comments, or constructive criticisms on 080-6528-1528. I'll take that again. 080-6528-1528. Stay tuned. Another day has gone. I'm still all alone. How could this be? You're not here with me. You never said goodbye. Someone tell me why. Did you have to go? Welcome back. Yes, Professor.
Yes, but there are also clauses that enables the person to extend the seven-day moratorium.
That is the owner of that particular information.
That's right. The owner of the information, or the custodian of the information, the guy who provides that information, can ask you to give him more time, particularly if the information you are seeking for is very large.
Okay.
And that is what Section 6 actually talks about. It says, you can request for more time in order to compile that information. If the information is complex, or if it is huge, or if it involves multiple sub-agencies of the organization.
Okay.
Let's say, for instance, you'd like to know all information about schools.
Okay.
So naturally, you go to the Minister of Education. Mm. But if the Minister of Education's records are located in local government, it may not be possible for them to provide all this information neatly, especially if they don't have the information neatly together, which is why the Freedom of Information Act is there in the first instance.
Okay.
It is now possible for all the information to be in one location instead of being scattered.
Okay.
And the idea of it being in one location is that it gives you greater control over your records.
Okay.
So if it is going to take longer time in order to compile the information that you're looking for, the officer might ask you for an extension. You know, say, look, can you like come back after 2 weeks or something?
Okay.
It is allowed. Mm-hmm. It is only when he refuses to give you the information within 7 days.
Okay.
That's when you take him to court.
Sir, before you proceed, this issue of clause that you did mention, is it a right or privileged? What I mean, seeking extension of time before making the information available by the custodian of that particular information, is it a right under this law or a privilege, for instance?
It's neither a question of right or privilege.
Okay.
It's a question of practicalities and logistics.
Okay.
He is asking for information for which data is not readily available. Let's not even get into why did we get into a situation where the data is not available. The fact that the data is not readily available.
Okay.
You have to assemble the data from all sorts of locations. Or he's asking complex data, which means that the officer himself will have to go to other places.
Okay.
The Freedom of Information Act assumes that all the information needed is right there on the table of the officer requesting for that information.
Oh, okay.
That is why they say 7 days.
Okay.
So if I'm asking for information about contracts, there is a file called contracts.
Okay.
I just simply pull it out and tell you, so and so and so, we are given the contract for this amount. And you go away. That's just it.
Okay.
That data is supposed to be on his table.
Okay.
But if the data is not on his table, the first thing that the Freedom of Information Act does is to say, all organizations, all public institutions should gather all their information and all records in a neat, easily available manner. So let's assume they haven't done it for one reason or the other. And that information is very complex. So all he has to do is to inform you to please exercise patience.
Okay.
You want this information, I'll give it to you because the Freedom of Information Act gives you that right.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. But the data is not available because the computers are broken down or because you cannot communicate, because of distance, because of connectivity, because of whatever other reasons. So as a result of that, I'm asking you to come back after 2 weeks.
Okay.
By then that information should be available to you. That's just it. So it's not an issue of question of right or privilege.
So in this instance, you have no right to take him to court?
You cannot, because he has not denied you the information.
Okay, he says you should just go and come
just
back.
Just come back,
okay.
And he explains to you why it might take more than 7 days.
Okay.
And that explanation normally should be reasonable.
Okay.
It is when you ask, for instance, you ask for simple information. I would like to know the names and the ages of all the people who are in this organization and when they were employed. All I want to know is just a list. This list is something that should be easily available from the personnel department. So I will come back after 7 days. Other officers will say, well, you can actually come back tomorrow and get it.
Okay.
Or hang on, let me go to the personnel department and get it for you.
Okay.
Or I'm not the person in charge of it, but the person in charge of personnel is responsible for that information. So let's go to him.
Okay.
And then he goes to him and introduces you as a public individual who is demanding for information. And that personnel officer will have to pull out that information and give it to you.
Okay.
That is fairly straightforward.
Sir, before you proceed, seeking this information can be done in written and it can it be done orally?
That is what I said earlier on.
Okay.
If the person hasn't got the ability to write it out,
okay,
he can come to the officer and say, I would like to know this information.
Okay.
The officer is required to give see a written request.
Okay.
And if the person cannot write it out, then he can tell him, can you go to a third party and ask a third party to write it out for you?
Okay.
If he says, I don't know any third party and I'm not going to any third party, then the officer will have to say, okay, now can you tell me what you want and I'll write it out, I'll transcribe it.
Okay.
And then when he transcribes it, he will read it out to him.
Okay.
And say, look, this is what you really wanted.
Okay.
If he agrees that that's what he really wanted, the officer will now file it away as a request.
Okay.
So it can be oral. It doesn't have to be actually written,
okay,
but it has to be processed in a written form.
Okay.
The request can be oral, but it has to be processed in a written form.
Okay.
If he refuses to give you that information, which is very simple, like I said, personnel list, then you can take him to court.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Okay.
And he doesn't have the right to deny the court, because then the court can compel him to provide that particular information. And if it costs you money in the process of taking him to court, the court may even compel him to pay you the cost of taking him to court.
Professor, still on this particular point we are talking about, where somebody cannot be able to read and write, maybe he is illiterate, you say he should take the issue to the third party. This third party, must it be somebody who is professional, for instance, a legal practitioner, or anybody can represent him and write it on his behalf?
The purpose of the third party is to transcribe the wishes or the request of this particular individual.
Okay.
So it is not a legal document.
Okay.
Under normal circumstances, he is supposed to submit a written request for this information.
Okay.
But he can't do it because he doesn't know how to read and write in a language that they will understand. So he goes to a third party.
Okay.
And if the third party if the officer denies that information, the law says he must provide his name, his designation, and he has to sign denying that particular information. And I told you, the only reason why he could deny that information is if it deals with security or international affairs.
Okay. So, sir, is there any, let's say, prescribed punishment for he who refused to make all this information available?
That's right. Suppose you ask for this particular information, whatever it is, and the officer denies to give you that information without giving you a satisfactory reason why that information should not be given to you. And the only reason why it shouldn't be given to you, actually, it's either it deals with security or it deals with international relations of Nigeria and other institutions or organizations, then that officer can be fined and convicted by court. So the court will convict him.
Okay.
He becomes a convict.
Okay.
And then he will be fined 500,000 naira.
For refusing to grant you an information.
That's right.
500,000 naira.
That's right. It doesn't sound like a lot. But half a million naira is quite a lot of money to many people. Okay. And he has to pay it out of his own pocket. He wouldn't say...
Not from the government.
No, not from the government. Because if he's truly a public servant, if he's truly a civil servant, then he should provide that information.
Okay.
But if he denies to give you that information, and he doesn't explain why he is not giving you that information, and it has gone more than 7 days since you asked him for that information, on the 8th day you take him to court, and if the court finds that he had really denied access to information for you, then they will convict him and ask him to pay 500,000 naira. Now I don't know exactly who will get the 500,000 naira, whether it
that's
is you
where the money is going
or
to.
The money goes to the government coffers or something, but you will be fined 500,000 naira.
Okay, so before we wind up, there is certain institutions that are privately owned by certain public where people used to go and invest their money there in. Supposing this is a private organization, it is, let's say, a liability company where a lot of people went there and invested their money there in. Don't we have right, for instance, to seek or to get access to what is going on in that particular
organization? No, they have their own procedures. That's why they have auditors.
Okay.
That's why they have auditors who are going to audit their account and make sure everything is going on smoothly. And that's why they have annual general meetings. And they publish their annual general meeting reports and audit reports in newspapers.
Okay.
So that's an example of what a public accountability should be.
Okay.
So if government agencies are to do what organizations are doing, then life will be easier for everybody. And the reason why organizations have to do all this annual general meeting and auditors and all stuff like that is because people have invested their money in, and so they would like to know where their money is going.
Okay.
But government agencies are also similar. By the fact that you pay tax and that you are also part of the national distribution cake or whatever it is they call it, it means you are also a stakeholder in whatever any ministry or any other agency does.
Okay.
So those ministries and those agencies are supposed to tell us exactly what is happening in those agencies. So that we know that our money, the money we pay tax for, is judicially spent. Just like maybe Dangote company declares its profits and losses or whatever it is, or Dennis Bank, or whatever any other of these agencies do. And the shareholders in these organizations feel very happy. Similarly, we as ordinary citizens will be very happy if we know how much our money is being spent. It is when we don't know how the money is being spent, that is when the Freedom of Information Act now gives us a weapon to demand to know where the money goes.
But sir, don't you think there is a kind of contradiction for a journalist if, let's say, we are limited to only government institution in seeking this particular information? Supposing there is a contract between government and a private-owned company, and you are digging out in order to identify the documents of this particular contract between the government and this private-owned company, would you restrict yourself only to the government agency? Don't you have right, for instance, to go to the same construction company document or photocopies of this particular contract awarded to that particular organization?
You do, if you are a shareholder.
Okay, only if you are a shareholder.
Only if you are a shareholder. You can't just simply walk into Zenith Bank and say, I would like to know what you are doing.
Okay.
Because it's a private company. In fact, in some cases, the companies are private by personal subscription.
Okay.
In some cases, the companies are owned by families.
Okay.
I mean, somebody can't just simply come into your house and demand to and ask your wife, how much does your husband give you for housekeeping?
Okay.
Can they do that? Now, if they can't do that, then why are you saying that you have the right to go to a company and demand to know how much they have got a contract for? It's a private thing. That is why it is excluded from public eyes. But if you want to know, buy the shares of that particular company. Get into the company. And then when it comes to the annual general meeting or stakeholders meeting or whatever it is, then you can demand all these questions.
Okay.
But for you to demand the question, you have to be inside the house.
Okay.
Just like any other person in your household have the right to know how much you give to your family for housekeeping. But outsiders don't have the right to know. So the same thing with the organization.
So there is a limitation in
there is a limit because those are private organizations.
Okay.
But a government organization is owned by the people and its execution process on the behalf of the people.
Okay.
And the money it receives belongs to the people.
Okay.
And that's what democracy is all about.
Okay, on this insightful note, Professor, thank you very much for taking your time to be with us this morning.
You're welcome.
Listener, thank you to you for being with me. Ahmed Tijan Lawan has been the program manager, and Afisa Murtala Ahmed produced the program. I'm your host, Murtala Elias. I'll be saying to join us next week for the fresh package of the program.